We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in Philippians chapter 4, and we will read verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here is a wonderful promise that God will supply the needs of his people. He will supply all their need. So whatever their need is, this promise covers that need. All your need, spiritual, temporal, and eternal. And for a short while, we will consider this portion of Scripture and notice, first of all, the supply, all your need, the supply. And secondly, the source, that is, God's riches. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And in the third place, the Savior, communion with Christ, because enjoying the supply of these needs are to be experienced through Christ or in Christ. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by or through or in Christ Jesus, the Savior. We have, first of all, the supply, and then the source, and then the Savior. Those who are in Christ have this wonderful promise. So we are to come to Christ that this promise may be ours. It's not for those who are outside of Christ. It's offered to them, but it's enjoyed by, it's experienced by those who are in Christ. And all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. First of all, the supply, all your need. The people in the church of Philippi had ministered to Paul's temporal needs. And Paul speaks of Epaphroditus in verse 18 when he says, I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So the Philippians, the church of Philippi, sent by this man a gift of temporal supplies, no doubt to make Paul comfortable where he was, isolated from them. And now Paul assures them that God will provide for all their needs. And just as the Philippians had given Paul all he needed and Paul was full, so God will give to the Philippians all that they need, and they will be full. But my God shall supply all your need. Paul speaks as the Lord's servant. My God, the God whom I serve, my God shall supply all your need. And perhaps what he is saying, at least we can learn from this, is that what has been done for the Lord's servant has been done for the Lord himself. What has been done to the Lord's servant has been done to the Lord. You have given me this gift, he says, you have really given it to the Lord. God accepts it as a sacrifice. The Philippians had given to Paul, but in reality they were giving to the Lord. They had offered a sacrifice when they gave to Paul, and it was pleasing to the Lord. It was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. God does not overlook these gifts that are given to his people. He takes it as given to himself. It's a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to him. Now, Paul is also saying that he cannot repay them. He cannot give back to the Philippians what they gave to him. All he can do is express his thankfulness to them for this gift. Paul cannot repay them, but he's saying, the Lord will. the Lord will repay you. The Lord rewards the labor of love to his people. He rewards them. Of course, it's not a reward they earn. They don't merit it. And for one reason, it was the grace of God in the first place that enabled them to give that gift, to give it in love. It was God's grace at work. God gave them the strength, the desire, the grace, and the ability to give to Paul. And so that being the case, it's not something they earn. They don't earn a reward, and yet God is graciously promising and giving a reward to those who serve him, to those who do work for him. He gives them the grace to give. He also gives them the grace of a reward for giving. So the grace of a reward is added to the grace of service. And it's all of grace from beginning to end. God gave them the grace and the desire and the ability to give to Paul. And God gives them the grace of reward to encourage them, to show them that he is pleased, and to express his love to them. Now, by giving to the Lord, one thing we can learn is that we do not make ourselves poor by doing so. Those who give to the Lord will not be losers. It's a wonderful thing to have an early conviction to always, always, almost no matter what, to give to the Lord, because he will give it back to you. I'm sure most of the Lord's people know that from experience. If they've come to that conviction, they will see in their experience all their needs being met. God will make all things abound to us according to his promise. Someone writes that the benevolent are not usually poor. That is, those who have goodwill, they give to the poor, they're not usually poor themselves. And if they are, well, God often raises up for them what he calls benefactions, or people who will, or supplies of benefits. And God sends supplies in a manner that is unexpected, just as he did for Elijah when he caused the ravens to bring bread to him, provision to him, when he was in need. So Paul is telling the Philippians, you are not losing by giving to the Lord. You have given to me, and here it is, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul uses the very same word that described his own experience. The word supply actually is the same word as fill or full. When he says in verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. I am full, and now I'm assuring you that my God shall fill you. You will be full. It's the very same word in the original. As Paul was generously supplied, the Philippians had filled him, and he's saying, God will fill you, Philippians. So he will supply, he will fill up all your need. He will give us, he says, all our need. My God shall supply all your need, not just some of what you need, but all your needs will be met. He will supply your earthly needs. He knows what you need before you do. He knows what you need before you ask him, the Lord Jesus assures us. So all temporal needs are embraced in this promise. And if we do not receive a particular provision for our need that we are desiring, God will make it up to us. He will give us something different, something better, something that will more than take its place. Yes, God gives us himself. And what better answer to our prayer can we have than that? Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The Lord Jesus gives us instruction, plenty of instruction about thinking upon our temporal needs He does tell us, seek not, that is, seek not as our main thing, and with anxiety, seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. This is Luke chapter 12. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. You're no different from others if you're full of anxiety about your temporal needs, not making a matter of prayer and not seeking them as secondary to spiritual needs. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Don't act like the Lord doesn't know. You don't need to worry about it because he knows what you need. The Lord knows. And what need is there then to worry as if everything depended upon us and only us? No, Jesus assures us, your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So he will give us our temporal needs. He will supply us with our spiritual needs. As the apostle assures the Ephesians in chapter 1 of the epistle he wrote to the Ephesians, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God will give us what we need spiritually. He will give us spiritual blessings and benefits. And one of the blessings that God's people need is sanctification. If they're growing at all in grace, they're growing in the knowledge of how far short they come, how much more spiritually minded they ought to be, how carnal they are. That's how God sanctifies us, by showing us our sins and showing us that we are really, really coming short. And that's not to make us glum and discouraged, but it's to recognize we need to grow. And if we're to be useful in society, we need to grow in grace. And one way we grow is by recognizing the need of it, and that we need to grow in holiness and spirituality and heavenly mindedness and readiness to do the work of the Lord. But the Lord has promised that. My God, Paul says, shall supply all your need, not just temporal needs. You're thinking about spiritual needs primarily, and that is not a bad thing. That's probably a good thing. And of course, we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be additional. And God has promised to meet those desires. Delight thyself in God, he will give you the desires of your heart. He has promised it. My God shall supply all your need. And he has promised to do so. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. He has promised it. He has promised to give us the one that enables us to grow. Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Notice it's a promise to those who ask. It's not a promise here for those who have made great attainments. No, they're not going to make great attainments in the ways of the Lord without the Spirit. It is given, the gift of the Spirit is given to those that ask him. So as we are taught to pray, give us this daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying for daily temporal needs and daily spiritual needs. We're to pray for all that we need. Yes, that is indeed a prayer for our temporal needs. We're taught by that petition to pray that of God's free gift that we may receive a competent, a sufficient portion of the good things of this life and his blessing with them. And when we think about God's blessing with them, we're not just thinking surely about that we'll be physically strong and that our children will be healthy, but we're to make a heavenly use of earthly good. When God gives us good things, we're praying for his blessing upon it, not just that we'll be strong and mentally alert, but that we will be spiritually benefited there will be a spiritual blessing given as well. And pleading the promises, praying over them, is how we indeed avoid anxious thoughts, which is what we considered last prayer meeting when Paul gives the exhortation in verse 6, be careful for nothing. And how to avoid that carefulness or anxiety is in this, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're to bring our petitions to God. The word of God is plain. Ye have not because ye ask not. And we're to be praying for all that we need, for our temporal needs, for sanctification, for the grace of perseverance, for heavenly mindedness. Oh, to be praying more earnestly and to have an enlarged hope and expectation. God will, He will supply all our need. Well, that brings us to the second point, and that is the source. It is God's riches. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's riches are the source from where our needs will be met. The Most High is rich in the benefits that He gives us. He's not limited by anything. They are His riches, and they are unbounded riches. This infinite store, as it were, this infinite ability that God has is the measure by which He meets out or distributes our need. What is the measurement? Well, there is no measure. There's no end. There's no limit. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches. These are God's riches, not the riches of the richest man on earth. These are the riches of God. And there's no limit to what He is able to do for us and to His supply for us. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, and He is infinitely able to meet all our needs. When it comes to our temporal needs, God has riches at His command. We sang in Psalm 104, this is the prose version, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom Thou hast made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. The earth is full of God's riches. And the thought comes to us that if all the riches that we desired were at our possession or in our possession, then it would not necessarily be good for us. But the riches of the earth are at God's disposal, and He who has all these riches will give us what is good for us. And the supply of all our spiritual needs is equally of His riches. We are told about the riches of God's mercy in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. And then verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And it is from these riches of grace and kindness that God gives us strength to serve Him. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Paul is praying for the Ephesians that He, that is God, would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What a promise that is. We're feeling our need of strength from day to day to go on in the ways of the Lord. God has riches. The riches of His glory, of His glory, these are glorious riches by which He and from which He strengthens His people to carry on, to make progress in the spiritual journey. With God, all things are possible. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So that's the assurance that we have, that God will give us all that we need because he gave his own Son. If he gave us his Son, how much more will he give us bread? And if he sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us, he will also send his Spirit to work in us. Yes, with God, all things are possible, and what wonderful things he promises. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. In glory. God's riches are the source and the measure of supplying all our need. And again, his riches are in glory. All the riches are with God. In glory. And he gives us these blessings from his glorious throne. It's a throne of grace, but it's a glorious throne. God is glorified in giving us what we need. And truly we should return thanks to him and glorify him when we see all these needs being met in our families, in our congregation. God is glorious. He is glorified in what he does for us. He is glorious in his compassion, in his readiness to supply our needs, his generosity in bestowing blessings upon us and helping those who are truly helpless. We sang Psalm 68, verse 5, that God is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. And then notice this, God is in his holy habitation, the place of his glory. And yet from his glorious throne, he is giving us all that we need. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, showing compassion to the helpless is a glorious thing for God to do, and it should be our pattern and our motivation. God is full of pity. We should have pity on the helpless. God doesn't just help those who help themselves. He helps those who have no help of man at all. So, however we look at it, these riches are in glory. God is glorified in giving us what we need, and we should praise him for it and be of a giving spirit like our Father in heaven. And finally, in the third place, we have the Savior. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is through Christ, or literally in Christ, just as my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. It is in Christ Jesus. In glory, in Christ. It's the same word. And so this tells us that it is by being in Christ we will have all our needs met. It is by being in Christ that we will have our temporal needs, our spiritual needs, our eternal needs met. God will supply all these needs in Christ. Being in Christ, of course, means that he represents us. He is the advocate with the Father. At the right hand of God, he pleads his own merit as the basis upon which we receive these mercies. And at Calvary, he purchased these blessings for his people. He purchased their right and title to all the blessings of the kingdom of God. So what believers enjoy are covenant purchased mercies and blessings. He has purchased these blessings because he has purchased them. He has redeemed them with his own blood, and he purchased their right and title to all benefits. And in fellowship with Christ, believers enjoy these mercies, these blessings. When they have communion with him, their hearts go out to him, and he sends his Spirit, and he conveys his love to them. in fellowship with Christ, in Christ, God's people will have all their needs met. So friends, we must be in Christ. Those who are outside of Christ, they enjoy God's goodness, that is true. And these are gifts that God gives to them, even causing the sun, Jesus says, to rise upon the evil as well as the good. But this is a temporary arrangement. These good things are given to the unbeliever, to the unconverted, only for a time. It won't be forever. And that means to enjoy them permanently, we must be in Christ. You must be born again. Repent and believe the gospel. Pray for the new birth, that you'll be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Pray that you'll be turned by his grace. As we read in the book of Jeremiah, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. And when you are found in Christ and trusting in his blood and clothed in his righteousness, he will give you all that you need: forgiveness, joy in the Lord, strength to serve him, and fellowship with him. And all of this is indeed found in Christ, so that you will, like Paul, be able to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All your needs will be met. And so, for those who are in Christ, what reason they have to give thanksgiving to God, to commit their needs to him, to plead the promise, my God shall supply all your need, for safety, for supply, for direction, to enjoy the feast of fat things that is provided for them and is offered to everyone. And what reason to conclude that our needs will truly be met when it's compared to a feast? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. They are all free in Christ. All the promises are yea and amen in Christ. May he bless his word. Let us pray.